I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
If anybody asks you who I am, who I am, who I am. If anybody asks you who I am, tell him I'm a child of God.
If anybody asks you who I am, who I am, who I am. If anybody asks you who I am, tell him I'm a child of God.
Where you going?
Ask me where I'm going. I'm bound for glory, bound for glory, bound for glory. Ask me where I'm going. I'm bound for glory,
bound for the glory land.
Anybody ask you who I am,
who I am,
who I am.
If anybody asks you who I am, tell him I'm a child of God, child of God.
If anybody asks you who I am, who I am,
who I am.
If anybody asks you who I am, tell him I'm a child of God. Tell him I'm a child of God.
Tell him I'm a child of God.
My friend, are you a child of God? I hope and pray that you are. Or maybe you're listening today and no one has ever told you how you can become a child of God. If that's the case, keep listening, because you will hear how you can become one of His. Whatever your situation or circumstances, I'm delighted to welcome you to this edition of The Voice of Hope. Our goal on this program is to build up your hope in God and in His Word, the Bible. It is our firm conviction that God's Word has the answers to all the issues we face in life. So I hope you'll stay with me for the next half hour as we look into God's Word together. We want to explore together what it means to be children of light. And the Apostle Paul has some very practical teaching for us in today's text. You know, it's amazing to me that a letter written to a church nearly 2,000 years ago can have such a contemporary message. But that's how it is with the Word of God. Timeless, universal truth, relevant in any time period and in any culture. Before we begin our study, let's take a moment to talk to the author of Scripture. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts before you in worship, for you alone are worthy. How grateful we are that you have revealed yourself to us in the pages of the Bible. Thank you that your Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write this letter that is so practical for us as your followers today. Speak your truth into our hearts now as we study the Word together. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Anyone who has ever had a basic earth science course in their education knows that light is necessary to sustain life. All living creatures or organisms need at least some light in order to survive and reproduce. That should not surprise us, because light was God's idea. It was the very first thing He created in the beginning of time. G. Jesus spoke about the importance of light early in his ministry. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, he said to his followers, "You are the light of the world." As you and I read through the gospel accounts of Jesus' ministry, we see references again and again to light. In fact, Jesus said of himself, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That's John 8:12. The apostles and early church leaders also picked up on this theme. It is the Bible itself that introduces the analogy of light, representing righteousness and goodness, and darkness, representing sin and evil. In Ephesians, we've come to chapter 5, verses 8 through 16. In the first verse of our text, we are given a clear command, "Walk as children of light." I've chosen part of that phrase for the title of the message, "Children of Light." Again, our text is Ephesians 5, verses 8 to 16. Listen as I read. "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Paul's instruction for the Christians in Ephesus, and for us today, outlines several actions that will characterize the children of light. The first action is, they prove what is acceptable. Paul begins this section of teaching with a very important reminder. We were all formerly children of darkness. We were ignorant with respect to the things of God. Because of the darkness of our minds prior to our spiritual enlightenment, we acted in harmony with our sinful passions. If you recall, we talked about that in chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. It is important that we never forget where we've come from, lest we become proud and self-righteous. However, what was true of us then is not true anymore. We are now, Paul says, and this is in agreement with Jesus' words, light in the Lord. Since we are light, then naturally the command follows, walk as children of light. For the time being, let's just skip over verse 9 because it is what we call a parenthetical aside. We'll come back to it in a few moments. So if we put verses 8 and 10 together, they read like this. "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Did you catch that last phrase? As children of light, we are to prove what is acceptable to the Lord. Let's examine this idea more closely. To prove something, in the sense the word is used here, is to examine it or test it, to be convinced that what you're examining is the genuine article. It's not just some clever counterfeit. And the verb tense here informs us that this examination is something that is continuous or ongoing. What is it that we are to be proving? We are to be proving those things that are fully agreeable or well-pleasing to the Lord. So then, we are, by virtue of our ongoing pursuit of those things that please the Lord, validating our claim to be children of light. We are proving that a change has taken place in our lives. And the things that are mentioned in the earlier part of this chapter are not to be found in our behavior. Now, let's go back to verse 9 and see what it adds to our understanding of proving those things that are well-pleasing to God. This verse begins with the word "for," which we could translate "because." We are to walk as children of light because the fruit of light is present in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Let's look at these three different and yet related concepts. Goodness carries the idea of being full of virtue. It's worthy of note that this goodness can be present in reproof and correction. It does not spare sharpness and rebuke to accomplish good in others, but it certainly is not harsh either. It sees the need and will do what is necessary to meet the need. Jesus modeled this for us in his cleansing of the temple. If you see an area of my life that needs improvement, or an area where I appear to be straying from the truth, then for you to come and talk with me about it is an act of goodness, provided your motives are right. Righteousness refers to the claims of a higher authority on our lives. It can be God's righteousness or our own self-righteousness. In Romans chapter 10, Paul said of Israel, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." They had a standard of behavior, a standard of measurement, but it was their own standard, and it wasn't good enough. Neither is ours. The antonym of righteousness is lawlessness. Remember in our previous message, Putting on the New Man, we talked about the need to put on righteousness? That is, we are to conduct ourselves in such a way that leaves no doubt about who we are and whom we serve. We endeavor to walk in obedience to the standard of righteousness God has outlined for us in His Word. We accept the righteousness of Christ as a gift for salvation, and we put on the practical outworking of that righteousness as a visible expression of our ongoing sanctification. And then finally, in verse 9, is the concept of truth. I believe Paul lists truth here to contrast the deception he warns about in verse 6. Instead of the deceptive words used by false teachers to lure those who were spiritually immature and gullible into sin, we are to be real, genuine, transparently honest. The light of God is truth, and with His presence in our lives, we reflect that truth to those who observe us. As these principles are fleshed out in our lives, in our daily living, we prove what is acceptable to the Lord. We give evidence that we are indeed children of light. The next action is, they reprove what is shameful. Earlier in verse 7 of this chapter, Paul warned the Ephesian Christians not to be co-participants with evildoers because of the surety of God's wrath. In verse 11 of our text, he strengthens that warning by saying, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." In the context of this chapter, the works of darkness are fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, inappropriate joking, sodomy, and idolatry. The meaning of fellowship is to share in company with. You know the old saying, "Birds of a feather flock together." It's true. We tend to keep company with others based on common interests. Our fellowship together in our local congregations is based on our understanding of the Bible and our applications of that understanding. But the Christian and the non-Christian are opposites. No common ground of fellowship exists. One is light, the other is darkness. Now, this does not mean we are not to have any contact with unbelievers. Paul addressed this in 1 Corinthians 5 by saying, "I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat." Not only are we to refuse to join them in their sinful practices, much more we should be motivated by the peril to their soul to rebuke them. The root idea in this word is to expose them, to bring their deeds to the light, to show them the error of their way, to help them see the consequences of their behavior. And it also carries with it the idea of shame. I believe all of us would agree, shame is a powerful motivation that can have either positive or negative effects on a person. It should be our desire that the shame they experience by exposure will motivate them to repent of their evil ways. Verse 12 reminds us that we must be cautious in our reproof, that we do not unnecessarily expose people to the details of sin. The example of Jesus in John chapter 4 is instructive. In his conversation with the Samaritan woman, he exposed her sin of adultery to her shame, but he did not go into any unnecessary details. It is not in the best interest of anyone involved to bring up the lurid details of sin. There is no value in depriving people of their innocence when it comes to sin. Many of you will recall during the years of Ronald Reagan's presidency, he organized a task force to study the effects of pornography on our culture. Dr. James Dobson served on that commission. And I remember hearing Dr. Dobson talk about all the filth and corruption he was exposed to by serving on that commission. Even though he served on that commission for a specific purpose, he did not recommend that we pursue the details of sin. Then notice also verse 13. Sometimes nothing needs to be said. Just the presence of a righteous person is enough to make sinners uncomfortable or bring conviction. Maybe you've had the experience of approaching a group of men, and all of a sudden, they stop talking or change the subject. Or maybe they close the magazine they were looking at. That is the way light works. When light is present, darkness must give way. I submit to you that the church bears some of the responsibility for the level of darkness that exists within her walls and within our culture today. We have not steadfastly held up the light of God's truth, but have become accommodating to evil. We fear the scorn of men more than the wrath of God. This must change. As children of light, we must have the courage to reprove what is shameful. The final action is, they approve what is needful. This point flows naturally out of the preceding one. Because the light reveals darkness, it is time for all Christians to be aroused from spiritual lethargy and the spirit of accommodation of evil. What will accomplish that arousal? A firm acceptance of the gospel and the application of the same to our daily living. There is no other power that can truly awaken the dead or the dying. When a person accepts the message of the gospel, their life is transformed. Paul says in Colossians 1:13 that God the Father has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. The gospel awakens people from the darkness of spiritual death and brings life and light in Jesus Christ. It is needful that we proclaim the gospel without apology. Paul follows this explanation by reminding us those who are spiritually awake act different than those who are spiritually dead. Those who are children of light understand the importance of walking circumspectly. That's a big word, and it's one that we don't use very often. What does it mean? One of the best ways to learn what a word means is to look at how it's used other places in the Scripture. The word circumspectly is translated in Acts 18:25 as diligently. Luke 1:3 reads like this. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. In the various ways in which this word is translated, it conveys the ideas of accuracy, exactness, and diligence. So, walking circumspectly means that we live our lives with care, we look ahead, and we visualize the consequences of our choices. It's needful for us to think about how our actions will influence or affect others. The final phrase of verse 15 bears this out. We walk not as fools, but as wise. The book of Proverbs is full of contrasts between the wise and the foolish. Let me read just a few verses for you. The simple believes every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. He that is soon angry deals foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. That's Proverbs 14, verses 15 to 18. Paul closes this portion by stating the reasons why we should walk carefully. He states that we should be redeeming the time because the days are evil. To redeem something is to buy it back, to rescue it from loss. That's what Christ did for us. He rescued us from sin. To redeem the time is to use it in a productive way. So much time is wasted today on cheap thrills, temporary pleasures, and worthless activities. Redeeming the time is to make the most of every opportunity that comes our way. And why should we do this? Because the days we live in are filled with wickedness. And brothers and sisters, if that was true in Paul's day, how much more true is it today? Should the wickedness of our day discourage us? Absolutely not. I want to ask you a question. Which is more powerful, light or darkness? Yes, it is light. Light always dispels darkness. Remember verse 13? Light reveals, light exposes sin. Darkness must always recede when the light comes. This truth reminds me of the gospel song that says, "The darker the night, the brighter the light shines. I'm walking with Jesus, the light of the world. With Christ as my guide, I'll walk by his side. Though darkness surrounds and sorrow confounds, in him I'll abide." Amen. Praise the Lord. The darkness of evil that characterizes our day makes the light of truth shine more brightly. As those who claim to be children of the light, our lives must give evidence of the same. The questions you and I must answer are we willing to examine and accept those things that are well-pleasing to the Lord? Are we willing to courageously reprove the things that are shameful? Are we willing to approve and practice the things that are needful? If we can answer yes to these questions, we will truly become children of light. Gracious God, we come to you acknowledging that we often poorly reflect the light that you are. We are too fearful of what our fellow humans think of us. Help us to become more concerned about what you think about us. Help us each day to prove what is acceptable, to reprove what is shameful, and to approve what is needful. Grant us grace to be truly children of light and to spread that light wherever we go. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves and the lights and the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save.
Send the light,
send the light,
send the light.
We will spread the everlasting light with a willing heart and hand. Giving God the glory evermore. We will follow his command.
Send the light, the blessed gospel light.
Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light and let its radiant beams light the world forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love.
Send the light.
Let us gather jewels for a crown above.
Send the light.
We will spread the everlasting light
with a willing heart and hand.
Giving God the glory evermore. We will follow his command.
Send the light, the blessed gospel light.
Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light and let its radiant beams light the world forevermore.
Thank you, Voice of Praise. As children of light, it is our duty and our privilege to send out the light. Wherever the gospel goes, darkness is rolled back and people are delivered from the power of sin. Praise God. I hope that's your prayer too, my friend. If today's program has blessed you, we'd really like to hear from you. And if you'd like a copy of this teaching to review yourself or to share it with a friend, it's available to you either in print or on an audio CD. Just ask for the teaching, Children of Light. You can make your request by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a copy of the teaching, Children of Light, either in print or on an audio CD. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to the program whenever it fits your schedule. You can also find Heralds of Hope on Facebook, where you can see a daily prayer request, read the latest news items, see photographs, and much more. And it's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. Now, once again, you may send your request to our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can mail your gift to the address I gave you. Or you can donate by credit card, by calling our toll-free number, or by visiting our website, heraldsofhope.org. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I invite you to tune in next week for the Voice of Hope as we study God's Word together. And until we meet again,
one thing I ask, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in your house, O Lord, all of my days, all of my life, that I may see you, Lord. Hear me, O Lord, hear me when I cry, Lord, do not hide your face from me. You have been my strength, you have been my shield, and you will lift me up. One thing,
one thing.